Dubai Eye 103.8.
Today, we turn our attention to one man who's doing exactly that, along with his support crew, his entire family. They are Dubai's Team Angel Wolf. Dad Nick Watson, a former Royal Marine and fitness expert, is here to talk to us about what he, his wife, and of course, the team at Angel Wolf are looking to achieve. Aiming to give his 16-year-old son, Rio, the feel and the thrill of participating in endurance races, including marathons, including triathlons, and, of course, raising awareness for his condition. Started some 5 years ago, and they've been at countless endurance events across the UAE, across the region, and further afield. Nick, joined as always by his beautiful wife Delphine and their lovely daughter Tia in pulling, pushing, swimming, and cycling with Rio in tow. Why is the question? Well, because Rio has a rare chromosome disorder that affects his speech and motor skills while making even simple movements such as walking a challenge. Nick, Delphine, Tia, and of course Rio have made it their job to give Rio every opportunity to achieve his goals, but also in doing so to raise awareness for his condition and those that might have similar conditions the world over and here in the region. It is all about Team Angel Wolf. We wanted to get the entire team in, but the studio's not big enough, so that's why we've asked Dad Nick to join us instead. Nick Watson, welcome to Making Tracks.
Thank you, Tom. Great pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for inviting us in.
Not at all, my friend. You and I have known each other for many years. It's lovely. It's long overdue that we've got you sat there on the hot seat as well to talk on behalf of the team. And I keep making that point in the intro. I keep making that point now because I know that you're a man who doesn't really like to talk about yourself too much. It's more about the family. It's about the Watsons as well. But you're happy to be the spokesperson today.
Yes, apparently so. I got the short straw.
But that's important to you, isn't it? The team element. It's in there in the name.
Well, look, and that's what it's always been about. It's never been about me and just Rio. So you can imagine everything that we do, we are a team. So even when we race, you know, behind the scenes is the backbone of Team Angel Wolf, which is Mum. And then obviously there's a little wolf as well, Tia. She jumps in and she's a big personality that makes all this happen.
We're going to do numbers. We're going to do. Yep. We're going to go down memory lane. We're going to ask you to pick a couple of songs along the way as well. Just trying to get my parameters right. So I reckon about 5 or 6 years that the team have been running. Is that right?
That's correct.
And how long in the UAE?
20 plus, 21 years, I think, this January.
21 years and counting. So very much home from home at the moment.
For sure.
But this is where it all started out for you, Mr. Nick Watson. What's your name? Well, we know your name. It's Nick Watson. Where are you from, Nick? Where did you grow up?
Originally from Cornwall, from the UK. That was my home until about the ripe old age of about 16. Mum and Dad decided that the UK was a bit too cold and wet, and they decided to go somewhere a little bit warmer. So with not knowing the language, they sold everything in the UK and moved to France and bought a hotel, of which they still run and own. So when I was 16, I obviously ended up in France and not through choice, but was there. And all of a sudden, the hotel's on the side of a lake. And the first season that I was there, they did a triathlon. So that was the start of the story.
Was that the baptism, was it?
It certainly was. That's where the passion and the love started.
In terms of you and fitness, you and sports, I mean, you've always been involved in fitness since I've known you.
Yep.
You've always prided yourself in keeping yourself and your family fit. You are an inspiration to so many in that particular field. Was sport always your thing growing up in rural Cornwall?
Yeah, look, it certainly was. I was very fortunate as well as a child. My grandparents kicked it off. I went to boarding school. And that is a kind of an integral part of every day we were doing sport, you know what I mean? And I think I full-time board as well. So even on Saturdays, we were playing rugby. So every season you went through your sport. So from an early age, yeah, absolutely. That was a huge priority. And I was, you know, I wasn't the best academic in the world. I was an artist and I was a great sportsman and naturally fell into sport. And, you know, depending on the school that I was at, you know, they have certain sports that they love, and rugby is normally the biggest one for the winter season. So rugby became a big part of my life from an early age.
Just on that boarding school thing, it's funny because, you know, times are changing quite quickly in so many different eras as well, and education being one of them as well. You, I, a number of the people that sit in that seat talk about their halcyon days at boarding school, how much they loved it. A lot of people these days can't understand how parents send away children to boarding schools. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and we are probably at that time, I think, when, not so necessarily obviously with Rio, but when Tia came into our lives, you know, I was at that dilemma, you know, do I send our daughter off to boarding school? But I think now today, you know, I just love her, having her around. We are a family unit. Like you said, we are a team. Mm. I would find it quite difficult to send her, obviously, and such a long way if you're based in Dubai. You know, I think boarding school for me would represent sending her back to the UK. Mm. Yeah, the consideration's been there for about 1 minute until my wife interrupts and says it's just not happening. So that thought has to disappear very quickly. So it's something, like you said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great time. Mm. I went to some great schools. I was very fortunate. My parents couldn't afford the schooling fees, but my grandparents could. Mm. And they wanted to invest in, obviously, their grandchildren, and that included me and my sister. And so we had a thoroughly good time. I enjoyed it, but I lasted to the ripe old age of about 16. I was kind of asked not to come back. So I didn't get to A levels and those things. Hence, parents moving to France, better go to France.
In terms of that, though, and we started the conversation, and it's well known, you know, how much you value family, how much you instill and install and invest into the ethics of family, the morals of family as well, the institution of family. Is that something you think that you learned from your parents? Was it instilled from an early age? Is it something that you've sort of taken through to your grown-up years?
Yeah, look, I think very much so. We were very, you know, even though I did go to boarding school, you know, we spent quality time as best we could when I was at home. The only slight misfortunate was that my parents have always run a business that runs during the summer. Mm. So even summer holidays, generally, we would be working there as well. But when we had time together, we spent the utmost time in doing activities, especially in beautiful Cornwall. There was so much to do. I think this was something that was installed from an early age. And obviously my wife, Delphine, was, you know, she had a very close-knit family as well. So, you know, and I think when Rio came along with all his difficulties, you don't really have any other choice. That was the route that it was going to take us. But we were like that anyway. And, you know, from the first day that I ever met Delphine, and still to date, we've probably spent about, three months apart, 90 days possibly apart that we've not been together. We spend a lot of time together, which has grown, obviously, who we are as a family.
Hashtag Team Angel Wolf, hashtag Make a Difference on this planet as well. We're going to be hearing about the hashtags. We're going to be hearing about what happened after 16 years of age in just a few moments' time. But before then, we've challenged you, Mr. Nick Watson, to come up with four songs that, well, pique your fancy. What's your first one and why?
Well, I think as a child, the band for me was The Police. And I loved the group from an early age. It was a song that I played, not a song, the albums. I loved this group. You know, Sting was that kind of personality who I kind of looked up to. I even remember going to the hairdressers one day and said, I took a photo with me. I want to look like Sting. He had this big spiky blonde hair. I came out the hairdressers. I didn't look like Sting. my mother was horrified with the haircut. And then it just grew. And the song as well, they toured a few years ago, 2007, 2008, and we were very fortunate to get tickets. So I was in Twickenham. They opened up with Message in the Bottle.
This is track number one on Making Tracks for our special guest. The daddy of Team Angel Wolf, Mr. Nick Watson, is live here in the studio.
Making Tracks. The memories, the thoughts and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
Indeed, and we have got, well, one of the great success stories, one of the most inspirational stories, Team Angel Wolf. Hashtag Team Angel Wolf, if you want to find out more. One of the co-founders, Nick Watson, is here in studio telling us all about that, how they came to be here in the UAE, why they set up Team Angel Wolf, what they have achieved to date, what they hope to achieve. But in the meantime, we are looking at the life and times of Mr. Nick Watson, how he came to be here. Before we do that, though, thanks to all of you for your text messages. Loads coming in from listeners out there. Feel free to send yours through to us as well. Riaz's been in touch with us saying, I'm a runner and Team Wolf has been a huge inspiration to me. Often come across awesome. The team at events. Always lift my spirits just seeing them go. True heroes. Thank you, Riaz, for that one.
Awesome.
If you'd like to send your thoughts, you can do now. Text us 4001. At 16, Cornwall, head down to France where your parents have got the hotel as well. And you mentioned art. I mean, art was your thing, was that right?
Look, I think at school it was my passion. Art, design, absolutely adored it. So by the time we got to France, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. And I thought, okay, maybe I could get into art school, art college. Of which we applied to a couple in France, which included Paris, Clermont-Ferrand and Toulouse. And Toulouse is such a beautiful city. I was like, I have to go to Toulouse. So, we spent the next couple of years in Toulouse studying with the desire to design cars. That was my thing. I wanted to go back to the Royal College of Art just off Hyde Park. And, that was the passion. And it was from a kid. I wanted to design. Wow. I love cars. And it was always something that I wanted to do. But, you know, I kind of got into sport, got into triathlon. By the time we got to Toulouse, we set up a triathlon club and we started racing.
I mean, could the two sort of coexist? Could they live together?
I think they probably could. But I think at the time, sport had kind of overtaken that passion. And all of a sudden, I wanted to be fit, wanted to be healthy. And it drew me back to, like I said, was at boarding school. And the great thing about boarding school, you're surrounded by a load of good friends, good mates. And I missed that. I was a bit lonesome in France by myself, but the language was a barrier on my personality. And I struggled a little bit with that. And obviously, but triathlon was my thing. And I just thought, you know, the military had always been there, especially in boarding school. And just had the desire to go down one of the routes of the military and just started to explore it. But the more I looked into it, I was like, yeah. And I had to go for what is and probably still today recognized as some of the hardest training and extremely well recognized for everything that they do within the military. And that was the Royal Marines.
Yeah, you're referencing the Royal Marines there, which, as you mentioned, is one of the toughest gigs, not just in the British Army, but in any army around the world, in terms of the qualification, in terms of the training, in terms of getting in the first place. You've sort of highlighted that's what attracted to you, the challenge to get in, to challenge yourself. Was it a challenge? Was it more of a challenge than you expected?
Look, I'll be totally honest with you. I went in with a huge fitness background. So by the time I got there, I was excelling, obviously, just in my capacity, because the great thing about the Marines, everything's endurance-based. You know, it's all about yomping and getting from A to B and long-distance big loads. I absolutely loved it. So I flew through, obviously, getting in, starting training. But the great thing about the Royal Marines, and I think most of the militaries, is what they do is they take everyone back to basics, relevant to your fitness level. So you're all back doing just press-ups, pull-ups, but 10s, 15s, 20s, whatever those numbers are, and everyone grows at the same rate. But obviously later on, when it gets to the challenges themselves, you know, the runners at the end of the day always excelled because everything was about movement. I love training. Training is just awesome. Unfortunately, I got injured. So when you join up, we got to about week 13 and we had a great game called Murder Ball. And it was Murder Ball. So we were four sections. We were on a rugby field. We were down at a shooting range and it was a break at lunchtime. And each section played each other and we got to a final. So our section got to the final. The idea, there's two jerry cans at the end of the field and they put a black water bottle in the middle, The guys line up on their backs at the end of each field, and obviously off you go. But the water bottle stays where it is, and everyone just beats the living daylights out of each other. But I managed to get away from a few of the big guys, and all of a sudden I had the water bottle and I was like, oh, it's the final. So I have like a whole like 10 guys running after me, a few zigzags. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the try. So I might as well make spectacular. All the guys are cheering, going crazy on the sideline. So I do one of those heroic jumps, probably about the length of this studio. But come down on my shoulder pops out. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
6 years in the forces, decorated for your time with the Royal Marines. You were high achiever there. Sort of natural progression into the fitness industry when leaving. Difficult decision for you to leave in the first place?
Yeah, look, I think so. It was more stemmed around my age. So I joined when I was 21. I got to mid 25 and still had this passion for health and fitness. Or what would my further career be should I come out? A lot of the guys were obviously looking at this long term. Me, for a period of time, was thinking, OK, maybe this is another route. But health and fitness was something that I wanted to get into. And the great thing, if you leave the military, they look after you. They send you on courses. They give you time away to re-educate yourself, obviously, into moving into civvy street. So we had an opportunity to go and do a personal training sports therapy course. I'd done 5 years at the time, and it was a tricky time, but it was led by my age. And again, I was thinking if I left it another couple of years, there were a few things I wanted to do in the Royal Marines. But if I leave it another few years, get into the personal training, sports therapy business, and I'm 28, 29, I'm going to be an old boy already. And it's a young man's industry. So hence the move. But yeah, and that was the move.
We will talk about yet more moves. We'll talk about the move to the UAE and, of course, the move to create hashtag Team Angel Wolf for the inspiration, not just to Nick, to Delphine, but to so many others out there. Rio, we'll of course, be moving on to that story in just a few moments. I've got to make some time for the music, though. Shadowboxer, explain this one to me.
Well, look, as I came out the Royal Marines, we went on this personal training course, and Delphine was on the course, my wife, today. So we started to see each other, and we all fell in love with each other. And this was the song. This was the first album we bought together. This song was something that we still played, and we absolutely fell in love with this. And it reminds me of that transition from the Royal Marines into civvy street, if you like, meeting Delphine, who now is obviously my wife. And the backbone of everything that I do today is Delphine. So this is out to you. I love you if you're listening.
It's a Shadowboxer by Fiona Apple.
Oh, you creep up like the cloud, and you set my soul at ease. Then you let your love abound, and you breathe. Your grace enrapture me. Well, you know I'd be insane to ever let that dirty game recapture me. You made me a shadow boxer, baby. I wanna be. Do
Making Tracks.
On the agenda on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Making Tracks with our special guest here today, Mr. Nick Watson, who is the co-founder of Team Angel Wolf. He is a popular guest as well, but judging by some of the text messages coming in, thank you very much indeed. Awesome. Nick Watson, your best guest in the last 12 years I've been here. A true gentleman and an inspiration to so many. That's from Frenchie today getting in touch. So keep those coming in. If you'd like to send a message to Team Angel Wolf, to Nick and the rest of the team, then get your thoughts into us now. So you've met your wife on this training course post the Marines. How did the two of you end up in Dubai?
Well, I think on the course, I was actually at a friend's wedding, and we were starting to explore the idea, myself and Delphine, of obviously we were just about to get into the fitness industry, yeah. And we both didn't want to stay in the UK. Delphine had spent about 9 months away in Australia and New Zealand. I'd spent the Royal Marines, and we were thinking, where could we go? And I remember being at a friend's wedding, and their brother, and still here today, was based in Dubai. He's a school teacher at Rashid Boys. Mm. So Andy Hatcher, good to hear. and I remember being at this wedding, and I was speaking to his brother, and he said, have you thought about Dubai? And this was like 20 plus years ago. And we went, where's Dubai?
Yeah.
I had no idea. And we went back and we opened up a map, you know, a map, not Google Maps. And we were like, oh, it's near the equator. It's going to be hot. Let's go there.
Yeah.
And then at that time, we were starting to explore all different high-end hotels, spas. So we were sending our CVs out. And we got in touch with Andy here. And we just said, Andy, what do you think? And he said, just come.
Hmm.
And literally, we arrived with a backpack. I had about £800 in my pocket when I left the Royal Marines. I partied too hard. And actually, it's not changed much. And we arrived with a one-way ticket, no job in Dubai. And we were kind of, okay, where are we going to go? And mention the WAFI.
Mm.
We opened up the Pharaoh's Club with the climbing wall.
Yeah.
That was our first job.
Wow.
And we loved it. But we always had a passion for personal training. And we then moved on to set up our first business. It was called Total Fitness.
Remember it? Yeah.
And we went around to people's homes and we personal trained them. And I think probably our huge love for Dubai, all our clientele were local Emiratis. My wife, Delphine, trained the mums, the wives, and I trained the husbands, the brothers, etc. And we had an amazing insight of the people, the culture, being invited to people's homes. And, you know, I still joke with the guys today, I get some of these fantastic gentlemen, but when they're in a gym in a T-shirt and pair of shorts and the Candora's gone and all that lot, you get to see someone on a real different level. And they are still my dearest friends. And with amongst that, we had the opportunity to go to weddings, go to events here, being invited to people's homes. And it's why we fell in love with Dubai.
Yeah. It's a love affair that has continued to this very day. You're still very much calling it home. But two became four during your stay as well. Your two kids have been born here. And of course, what, 15 years ago now, with the birth of Rio, your life's changed in many ways. Your focus, your lives, the passion that you've put into everything when your little angel arrived. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, look, Rio were actually 16 now. So 16 years ago, he was 6 months old. And kind of a happy moment. You know, everyone remembers, you know, bathing and showering and all those kind of things you do with a kid. And I remember with Rio, I was bathing him on it. It was a Friday. And I was in the bathroom. He was laid on my tummy and washing him and he's smiling. And then all of a sudden, he goes completely unconscious. He goes blue. His eyes roll into the back of his head and I'm left with this floppy child. And I panic, I scream, Delphine comes running in and we have no idea what to do. So we jump in the car, we rush down to the hospital. And on the first occasion, after about 6-7 minutes, Rio comes out of this episode. But by the time we see the doctor said, look, he looks okay. You know, he's fine by this stage and send us out. And that was the Friday. And then Saturday comes and exactly the same thing happens. Rio goes into this unconscious state and I'm thinking I'm going to lose my son. And it starts this journey of these continuous episodes, which now become what we realize are seizures. The seizures knock him out. So most people think of a seizure, a child will go rigid. Rio goes completely opposite. So literally stops breathing almost, goes unconscious, goes floppy. And it's a terrible time. And this is happening on a regular basis or irregular basis. We have no idea what's happening. And it takes us on a journey. And this journey takes us 4.5 years, Tom. We end up starting here. We end up seeing specialists throughout Europe, back in the UK. And we find out that a long, long time that Rio has a part of a chromosome missing. So we're all made up of just over 22 pairs of chromosomes. So on chromosome 1, he has a minuscule part that's deleted. So his condition is that rare. It's often named after the part of the chromosome that's missing. And it's called 1Q44 deletion. It also has another name at the end that says de novo, which means it's non-hereditary. It's not come from mum and dad. Life has given us our little boy, Rio.
Life has given you your little boy, Rio, a.k.a. your angel, everyone's angel as well now. You mentioned the process there, you know, the process of misdiagnosis, diagnosis, being told one thing, being told another thing, constantly searching. From that point when you finally got the diagnosis and got and went, okay, this is our lot, this is what we've got to deal with, did it take a long time for you to, excuse the pun, but get up and running again after that?
Look, I think you're constantly being knocked down even from the diagnosed. So, you know, Rio is still having seizures, you know what I mean? So his condition every, you know, I wouldn't say every day, but there's a learning curve with Rio. We watch him how he develops. But like anything, there's always ups and downs along that journey. And there's, you know, there's an enormous amount of stress that that will bring to a young family as well. So I don't think it's ever get up, but I think this little boy has inspired me by what we've ended up doing and that we found something along this journey that we've had as a family that he loves. And I think any father will get that. You know, all we want in life is our children to be happy.
Yeah.
And whatever that takes. And obviously the journey took us into triathlon. We started racing together. And all of a sudden that got me up because I see him engaged and loving it and movement. So, yeah, that's how we got into triathlon.
Where did the inspiration come from for you to race with him?
I had a health scare just before we started racing. It was probably about 5.5 years ago. Wasn't feeling very well and I went to see the doctor and they said, look, you look really pale. You don't look very well. I was like, well, that's why I'm here to see you. So I said, well, we're going to run a load of tests. And they ran a load of tests and they found internally I had a big lump about 6 centimeters in my colon. And they were like, yep, I think we need to whip that out. And obviously, if it was still there, I probably wouldn't be sat in this seat today. So it was at that kind of scary stage, but no one wants to hear that the C word. And that's where it was going to become. So it was a bit life changing. So I woke up in the hospital and my lovely wife there, Delphine, was there. And I remember saying to her the first words to her, I said, Delphine, I want to do an Ironman. She's like, what? So an Ironman is 3.8 swim, 180 bike, 42k run. And the last time I did one was in, which is going to be next month, is Hawaii Kona, the world championships. And actually when we were there, when we raced, Delphine was pregnant with Rio. And I always remember turning around to her and saying, one day I want to come back with my son and daughter, and one day we will go back to Hawaii and we will race. And it was a bit life-changing. So I was like, okay, I want to do an Ironman. Okay, I can't get to Kona because you need to qualify, but let's do another race. So we were about 5 months away from, I chose a race, October, Barcelona, Spain. Let's get ready for it. And then as we were prepping, it went, life just kind of got in its way. Training wasn't as good. You need to put in at least 30 plus hours a week in training for an Ironman. And woke up one day and Devin said, have you ever thought about racing with Rio? And I was like, wow, okay, how? You know, and typical... Yeah. Thinking about so many things, how am I going to get him to swim, bike and run? And then obviously we look back to, you know, who's been a huge inspiration for us, the team Hoyts, who were the original guys that did Hawaii many, many years ago, a father and son unit with their son had cerebral palsy and completely started to do some little bit of research. So, you know, and then we were like, oh my God, we need the equipment. Let's find a race. We were like, there's no point in doing a little race. Let's do a big one. So we did a what we call a half middle distance. So and it was Dubai International Triathlon here on the Palm in 2014, 7th of November. And yeah, we signed up for it. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, we need the community. Can the community help? And Adventure HQ jump on board. They bought me the bike, bought me the kayak, bought me the pushchair. And we were ready, you know, but this was like, we had the kit 2 weeks before the race. And we were like, okay, let's have it a go. And then we did our first race.
That was the first of many. We'll be charting the success of hashtag Team Angel Wolf in just a few moments' time. We'll be finding out about the members of the team. Let's make room for the music. Bit of Florence and the Machine coming. Why this one?
This goes back to also prior, just slightly before Team Angel Wolf. So when Rio came into our life, we started doing an event here. I don't think you remember, called Reaching You.
Yeah.
And Reaching You was a free, fun day. We invited every school, every child with disability to come to an event. We had a big stage. We started in Jumeirah Beach Park. And it was just this magical. We had DJs come down. The food was free. Entertainment. We had Bouncy Castle. It was massive. We used to have about 5,000 people come to this free event. We took it from Jumeirah Beach Park, jumped it into Zabil Park, did it for about 5 years. And this was the song that just kind of represented where we were in our journey, giving something to the community, and it's become the song of Team Angel Wolf. Love it.
The memories, the thoughts and the songs of some of the success stories who now call the UAE home.
Some lovely messages coming through for our guest, Nick Watson. This one from one of our listeners. Love Nick and Delphine's message of including everyone. They are an inspiration. And another one here. Nick is a great guy and I'm very proud to be one of the Team Angel Wolf triathletes. That's from David McKenzie listening in at the moment.
You had him on last week,
did you?
We
did, yeah.
Right?
He's obviously comparing at the moment.
I asked him his song choice last night. He did say ABBA.
He did put a bit of ABBA in, yeah, yeah. Let's get up to... So we talked about the first race there. We've talked about we've touched on the achievements of Team Angel Wolf. I mean, what are we up to now, race-wise? I mean, obviously...
190.
In the last race, 6 years or so.
5 years. Coming up in... This is our sixth season we will start. We've covered, which always kind of interesting, we've covered about 6,000 kilometres that Rio swam, biked and run. Just to put that into reality, is basically the same distance from here to Belfast that this little boy has swam, biked and run. And it's not just me, you know, there's my daughter, there's Tia, she races with him. Got a world record last year, by the way.
She did?
Yeah.
Wow.
She did a sprint triathlon with Rio. We couldn't, unfortunately, I know you had the guys from Guinness, but for whatever reason, age-wise, she wasn't allowed to do it. But we did find another record holder. And yeah, she did a sprint triathlon, 750-meter swim, 20K bike in a very windy day. And she ran 5K pushing Rio. And she wanted to do it before she was 12. She was 11.
She is an inspiration. Rio's an inspiration. You're all inspirations. I mean, how does it, when you're sat around the kitchen table of an evening and going, wow, we've achieved quite a lot. What do we do next? How do we raise the bar? I mean, what's in the pipeline?
Hey, look, we've got something big. This year we did, with a part of the Special Olympics, we did 7.5 Ironman, 7 days, 7 Emirates. Yeah. So that's 1.9, 90, 21 in 7 days, and it was brilliant. And again, I think Because we've been racing so much, it kind of took us to a level where we were starting to get a lot more recognition outside, not just here, but into the region and maybe hopefully globally. So we thought, look, let's do something big. It's my 50th on the 14th of November. So I was like, okay, I need to do something big. Now, I might change the dates because we're a bit struggling for time and for the moment. But the idea is to do an Ultraman. Now, an Ultraman is past an Ironman, obviously. It's a three-day event. You swim 10K. You cycle, this is day one. You then cycle 150 kilometers, day one. Day two, cycle 275. Day three, we run 85. Mm. I've actually got a meeting with the guys from District 1, so it's all down at Maidant, which means we're in a safe environment. The swim's going to be around one of the islands, which will probably be about a kilometer. Then the bike and the run throughout the next few days is 9 kilometer loops. So what we want, even though we're going to be there doing the challenge, we want the community to come. Mm. I'd love the team from ARN. Come do one lap. We're saying to everyone, can you cycle 9 kilometers? You can come and do one lap with us. Mm. Could you walk on the last day 9K? And then the great thing about the last day is we're going to invite, obviously, the whole community of children with disabilities to come down. Please bring their, obviously, wheelchairs, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'll bring my running chairs. We invite other kids with disabilities to come down. And we want the community to push and walk. And to me, that's all about inclusion. And that's what our focus is.
You know, all that you've done with getting people involved and that whole message of inclusivity as well. There might be those out there at the moment listening and going, yeah, I love it and I really want to do my bit, but I hate running and I hate fitness and I'm not into it and things like that. But I love what Nick's saying and I love what Nick's doing. How do they help?
Well, look, yeah, and it's a good question. So what we're trying to do this year is explore more activities where we can get other people that just don't swim, bike and run. Now, obviously, we do certain things at the moment where obviously we do races, we have more chairs. We won't do 20 kilometres, we'll do 5K and we'll go as slow as the slowest person. And it's more about the community getting together. We're going to go down the route first time ever for actually to do some fundraising. So I'm going through proper relevant permissions through CDA, who have been awesome, by the way, as a non-profit organisation, Dubai Islamic Affairs, and we're looking for, hopefully be sorted out next week, a local charity. So we're looking for three projects. One, I'd like to get a new bike. Yeah. My bike weighs 35 kilos, so I'm getting older. I found one that weighs 12, all inclusive. I'm like, I've just lost 20 kilos. That's brilliant. We also want to do more community events. So we're looking at a van with 10 running chairs. So we want to reach out to community. And the last one, like I said to you earlier, it took kind of a while to convince my wife on this one. But I thought, why don't we go and get to a community that maybe just doesn't swim, bike and run? Mm. So we thought about getting a motorbike with a sidecar. So I've costed it all up. I'm looking at trying to obviously fundraise for this. And then we went out to, well, I haven't even spoken. It's actually the first time I've publicly spoken about this. So we thought, why don't we go to or just ask the motorcycling community, would you like to ride with my son? And it's all about inclusion. This little boy with disabilities, would you like to come? And we've been inundated from the Harley groups, the BMW, everyone, the Ducati, everyone's just like, of course we would like to include Rio and Nick and we go out and ride. And then I thought, wow, okay, we'll get some different helmets. Maybe we can include some other children, obviously in the safe environment, safe roads. We could go out and do little rides together. And I just thought, how cool is that? Yeah. It's all about inclusion. It's showing first and foremost that this little boy can absolutely do anything. So we thought, look, let's reach out to a new community.
All the details will be up on the website. We could talk about this for another hour and a bit. Unfortunately, we've got to wrap things up. Not though, before I ask how the main man is himself at the moment. How is Rio?
Look, he's absolutely cannot wait to start racing. I said to you earlier, every time I see Rio, he says, Dada, race. First thing in the morning, race. So he's had the last 3 months of not racing. This boy's itching to go. So, yeah, we're going to be out there very soon. There's some races.
And Little Wolf and Mama Wolf, they're well?
They're extremely well. And, they're all looking forward to a new season and getting out there. And like we said, hopefully we can inspire some people to join us.
Nick, if people want to find out more, if people want to get in touch, how do they do it?
Look, please, Team Angel Wolf, right through the channels. Obviously, Facebook, Instagram is our best ways. You can obviously message us through there. Easy one if you want to email me, teamangelwolf@icloud.com. Please get in touch. We need support. We need sponsors. We need to keep this going. get in touch with Team Angel Wolf.
Really appreciate you doing this one for us. Making Tracks was Mr. Nick Watson on behalf of all the team at Team Angel Wolf. Go on, give us one for the weekend. What are you going to play out with?
Look, I actually love this song. The reason why, it's just full of energy. I watched the video, people are dancing on it, and what it reminded me of, and the reason why I thought about it, we did the Dubai Marathon last year, and we had five chairs pushing five kids, and when we were out there, I kind of realized everyone's out there having a go. Everyone out there has a story that seems could inspire other people. I watch this, I want to dance. We want to do the same thing. We want to get the community out there. Come run, join with us. Let's make this place a healthier, happy global community.
Big thanks to Nick Watson, Daddy Wolf for Team Angel Wolf. Bye-bye.
It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. Rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, been so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop that. You, when you dance, 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 feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do.
This is Dubai I 103.8.